We are joined right now by an NFL Network analyst, a 12-year career in the National Football League as a player and a scout, founder of Big Play Football, head coach at Granada Hills Charter High School, host of the Move the Sticks podcast along with Daniel Jeremiah. You can follow him on Twitter at Bucky Brooks. Bucky Brooks is my guest. Bucky, it's great to have you back. How are you?
Man, I'm good. How you doing?
Good, good. All right, so over the past few weeks, there have been a number of trades involving teams that will be picking in the top 10. Let me start right here, Bucky. What was your reaction to the Panthers making that move for Sam Darnold, and then what does that mean to them going into the draft?
You know, Jim, this is a case of, like, beauty is always in the eye of the beholder. And so what happens a lot in our business, scouts fall in love with prospects during the pre-draft process, and they hold on to those feelings even after guys go in the league. And what you see is, in Carolina, they still have an affinity for Sam Darnold based on how he performed at USC. And even though it got sideways for him in New York, they believe they have the environment around him to allow him to thrive. And when I talked to some former Jets coaches about Sam Darnold, they say, hey, it got sideways for Sam Darnold because Adam Gase put too much on his plate. He basically expected him to play like Peyton Manning, and it was too much for Sam. When you took some of those things off his plate at the end of 2019, Sam Darnold played better. In Carolina, they will put an infrastructure around him that will get him to play more like he played at USC, quick rhythm passing game, heavy reliant on the run with Christian McCaffrey and those wide receivers, and that will give us an opportunity to see the best of Sam Darnold. Now, I don't know what that best will stack up to, but I think he will have a better showing, a better chance of success than he had in New York.
I think that's really interesting that guys would see a guy the same way that they saw him when they first saw him in college, and then if you get him in a different situation, that you might still have that guy or something close to it. Bucky Brooks joining us. So, Bucky, it seems like a foregone conclusion that Trevor Lawrence is going to go to Jacksonville and that Zach Wilson will go to the Jets. When you look at Lawrence, what kind of a quarterback do you see?
I see Justin Herbert all over again. I see Justin Herbert plus. That's how I've described him. I think Justin Herbert and Trevor Lawrence have very similar attributes, very similar games from their size to the way they go about playing. I think Trevor Lawrence maybe has a little more sizzle to his game, but I think you will see very, very similar production and performance from Trevor Lawrence. I think the thing that is Trevor Lawrence's selling point to top evaluators is not just what he does on the field, it's who he is, the football character, the leader that he is, the maturity that he displayed, how he's handled always being on the big stage. I think because he has always passed those tests with flying colors, I think the Jaguars feel great about him being their franchise quarterback.
Bucky Brooks is joining us. All right, Bucky, so what about Justin Fields? And let me ask you about him and the 49ers. They've got the third pick. They've got options. But there's been a lot of talk about Fields recently. Now, you know how the draft evaluation process goes. Every single year, there's certain prospects who seem to get a lot of heat, a lot of criticism, and generally it's anonymous. What do you make of how that's played out this year as it relates to Fields?
I don't like it. Like, I like it better when people are able to put very specific critiques on his game instead of the general things. Because what happens is when it's Justin Fields and it's a non-white quarterback, what happens is you have kind of like these same stereotypical answers or analysis that floats. And so if you want to say that Justin Fields isn't necessarily the best when it comes to reading progressions or he hasn't been the hardest worker with those things, because of the cloud that hangs over black quarterbacks when it comes to those things and how it has always kind of been the stereotypical lazy analysis, you have to be able to levy those critiques with some solid support. So you can be like, oh, here's what Sensa said about him. Because when you just float it out there, it does seem like you're picking on Justin Fields. Here's what I say about Justin Fields. I think Justin Fields was on the stage for too long because it's really easy for people to get caught up in the Johnny come lately. We've seen Zach Wilson kind of ride the magic carpet ride to being arguably the number two pick in the draft. We've seen people get hot and heavy on Mac Jones of late. The thing about Justin Fields is I would say that Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields have always been QB1 and QB2 from the time they were in high school. He has performed at a high level at every place. He performed at a high level at Ohio State. We've seen him play in big games. And so I think he could actually be the guy that we go back and look at a U2 and we treat Justin Fields much like we treat Justin Herbert. When all of the criticism was on Justin Herbert this time last year, we changed that once we saw him play. I think we'll do the same with Justin Fields.
Bucky Brooks breaking it all down. So will we do that with him in the Niners offense? And how do you like that fit of Fields in a Kyle Shanahan offense if that's the way that plays out?
Hopefully, I think that should be the way that Kyle Shanahan goes, because I know there's a lot of conversation about Mac Jones based on what Kyle Shanahan did with Kirk Cousins, what he was able to do with Matt Schaub, even Matt Ryan. The thing was, two of those guys were mid-round draft picks. Matt Ryan was great, but he has some limitations. I think Kyle Shanahan stood on the sideline when his team lost the Super Bowl to Pat Mahomes, and he's sitting there seeing Pat Mahomes make Andy Reid look great, even when the play calls aren't the right play calls. I would think that you give up a bunch of picks to get someone who can erase some of your mistakes, not someone that you basically are using as a joystick to play a video game from the sideline. I would just think that Kyle Shanahan would want more athleticism, more improvisational playmaking ability than what Mac Jones could offer at that position.
We're talking to Bucky Brooks. So, Bucky, when you look at Mac Jones then, I mean, do you see a guy who's a top five pick?
No, I don't. I don't. And that's not to disparage Mac Jones. I think Mac Jones can be a first-round pick. I think Mac Jones can be a solid starter in this league. I think Mac Jones potentially could kind of leave you wanting, like Jared Goff left Sean McVay wanting, right? Because when you look at certain guys, they can take you to a point in terms of with your offense, but because they don't have either A-plus arm talent or they don't have exceptional athleticism, they can't give you more. And so that puts a lot of pressure on you as a play caller to get it right. And when you think about Mac Jones playing at Alabama and all of the things that were around him, we've never really seen him have to elevate an offense or have to really deal with serious adversity. I would just steer clear, would be a little leery. I wasn't expecting him to be a high-end franchise quarterback when I just don't know if he has any special talents that will enable him to do so.
Bucky Brooks joining me for a couple of more moments before that hard out. You mentioned Goff. Bucky, you and DJ were talking on your podcast recently about the Lions making that deal involving Matthew Stafford for Jared Goff earlier in the offseason. So let me ask you about Goff. In your eyes, is that the quarterback of their future, or could you see them drafting a quarterback this year or next?
You know, I'm different because, like, I actually like Jared Goff. I think Jared Goff is a really good player, and I liken Jared Goff to Matt Ryan. When he was coming out of Cal, I felt like they were very, very similar in terms of comps. When Jared Goff is protected and things are clean, he can light you up. We've seen it. He led the Rams to a Super Bowl, and I don't think that's an easy feat. I don't care what we think about Sean McVay and his brilliance. Jared Goff was the one that was playing, and he got them to the Super Bowl. So he deserves credit for that. In Detroit, I think it's interesting with Anthony Lynn and also the number of former players that are on that coaching staff. I think they will have a different level of gratitude and appreciation for Jared Goff's game because they understand the difficulty of playing the position at that level. I think he's going to be fine in Detroit. I think they'll investigate and see if somebody kind of falls within range. I think they would like to play this out with Jared Goff being the quarterback for the next year or two while they build up the rest of the team. And then if at that point he's proven that he can't get it done, then you move off of him. But I think he gets every opportunity to be the QB1 for a long time in Detroit.
Good stuff. One last question, Bucky. It seems like the last few years that there's been a quality of receivers coming into the NFL and have moved on to a new level. So let me ask you about one guy on the way out the door. What are your thoughts on Ja'Marr Chase?
I like Ja'Marr Chase. I think Ja'Marr Chase is real. His explosiveness, his athletic ability, the way he wins 50-50 balls down the field, you have to like that. He's a very polished player. And I think as much as we love Justin Jefferson a year ago and what he was able to do as a rookie, remember, Ja'Marr Chase was the number one receiver on that team that had Justin Jefferson. So that speaks to his talent and his impact potential. I would expect him to be a star in the league.
He is an NFL Network analyst. He spent 12 years in the NFL as a player and a scout. He is the founder of Big Play Football. He's the head coach at Granada Hills Charter High School, host of one of my favorite podcasts, Move the Sticks podcast, along with one of my favorite guys, DJ. In fact, Bucky, you are too. Great to have you back on the show, Bucky. Thanks so much. Great job.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on, Jim.
Good talking to you, Bucky. Much respect. Bucky and DJ are two of my favorite guys. They've got great chemistry. It's a great podcast and incredible insight, great information, just absolute pros both. Bucky Brooks and Daniel Jeremiah. Hope you enjoyed that.